Welcome to message 191 of all the parables in the Bible. It saddens me as I come to the end of these messages, but I am very elated also. We're in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, which is a glorious chapter. It is a chapter of a war between the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, and the seed of Satan, probably Muhammad's descendants, and the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet, the Mahdi, the beast, and the false Isa. It's all coming to an end. I'd like to go to the Old Testament before I go here any further and read two psalms that just absolutely fulfill what's going to happen in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet and still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You have prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies, right in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. I am a chosen one. I am of the elect. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness, and the word loving kindness there is one of the titles of the Messiah, the man of loving kindness, will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 24. All of this is going to be fulfilled from chapter 19 through chapter 22 in the book of Revelation. Of course, Ezekiel, Daniel, Isaiah, Joel, Amos, all of these have little, what we might call, comments on this age and this time. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. He may ascend into the hill of the Lord. Who may ascend into the hill of the mountain under the government of God? And who may stand in his holy place? We know Lucifer tried. Old Satan, the devil, the great dragon. And the 19th chapter of Revelation is a culmination of that war on earth. In eternity past, Satan defied God. In space and time, he has lined himself up with man, with some of the most wicked forces and evil of all of the ages that a man could not even imagine. Every form of religion against God and against the Son of God, our Savior, has been formed. Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, Seventh-day Adventist, in a more milder form, I might say, but still Judaism. We have Armstrongism. We have all of these isms, Catholicism, which ravaged God's people for 1,600 years, and Islam, which be the culmination, I believe, of that end time great harlot. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood. Don't trust in false religion, people. If you're in Islam, get out of it. If you're in Jehovah's Witnesses, get out of it. Serve Jehovah, the God of heaven, the one who shall became in John 1:14. Jehovah means the one who shall become. Comes from Hayah, which means to become. and has not sworn deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Who has not sworn deceitfully. That great Islamic Shakaran, that statement of faith, there is no God, there is no Jehovah but Allah. He has no son, no companion. And Muhammad is his messenger and apostle. How blasphemous that is. Who has not sworn deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord, from Jehovah, and righteousness from God of his salvation. And this is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, even Jacob. And then it says Selah. That means think about it. Meditate upon it. Pray upon it. What I've just said, he said. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The strong, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? Jehovah Sabaoth. He is the King of glory. Think about that for a long time. Revelation, the 19th chapter. What a chapter in God's Word. Revelation, the 19th chapter. What a chapter in God's Word. I'll be reading it to you from the Greek and the Hebrew. A lot of this chapter is quoted from the Old Testament. Meditate Ecusa. After these things I heard, as a voice, great, of a crowd, oklos, that's thousands. Crowd great, much, in the heaven. Saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now that word hallel, or hallelujah, means to sigh, to shine, or to polish. To shine or to polish. It means to cause, to make the name and the name of Jehovah shine. NRK, ain ho logos, kai ho logos, ain pro stone, theon, kai ho logos, ain theon. In beginning, kept on being the Jehovah, way out there before anything existed at all, just God himself. And he kept on being, Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead because Jehovah kept on being God. That's what's John 1:1. John 1:14 says, Kai hologos sarx agenitos. And the Word, the Jehovah, became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory is only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten God, the one being in the bosom of the Father, that one has led himself out to save our rotten, sinful souls. Yes, your soul, if you ask him to save you and believed in him. Saying over and over and over and over again, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, John did not make the mistakes here in the Greek New Testament that they did in the Septuagint. Sometimes it's called alleluia, but it's got a rough breather on it. It's hallelujah. Hallelujah means to shine and polish the name of God. Hallelujah, the salvation, the soteria, and the glory. We have salvation in one way. Through Jesus Christ and him alone. No man goes to hell because of sin. He goes to hell because of rejection of Jesus Christ. In Psalm 104, 105, and 106 are all called hallelujah songs. Now, the word psalm means to pluck or to make melody with words and with instruments. With words and with instruments. Praise ye Jehovah. My teachers told me a long time ago, if you run out of something to preach, brag on Jesus. I try never, ever to preach a message without my Savior's name being glorified in it. Of all the 7,000 plus messages I have preached, I pray that I have glorified Jesus Christ, my Savior and my God, in every one of them. Without Him, I would be lost. Without Him, I would no way ever see God or heaven. He is my Savior. He is my God. He is my King. Salvation and the glory and the power, the eudynamis. That's where we get our word dynamite from, that word. Belonging to God of us. Because true and just, the one judging, the one making all the decisions of Him. Now, there are many words for song in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. There are three words in Greek that refer to music and praise and God. Asma is not used in the New Testament, but it's used frequently in the Old Testament, Septuagint. Hymnos. We get our word hymn from that. A worded praise in olden time, it meant to deify a man or a hero or a god. In the New Testament, it means to brag on Jesus. Paul's hymn. In Acts 26, 25, Ephesians 5, 14, 1 Timothy 3, 16, and 2 Timothy 2, 11 through 14. And there's the word ode. Ode. We have odes. Ode is a battle hymn. And that's what we have here in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, is a battle hymn. It's a battle hymn of victory. Revelation 5, 9, 14, 3, 15, 3. 19 and verse 2. Let's go back and read it in the Amplified Bible before we go. Let's read first verse. After these things I heard what sounded like a mighty shout, a great crowd in heaven, exclaiming, Hallelujah, praise to the Lord, salvation and glory and splendor and majesty and power and dominion and authority belong to our God. They're His. They're His. And verse number 2. Because He judges the harlot. Now this is the culmination of all of this false religion that resides here at the end time in the tribulation period. We have error coming in. We have the Catholic Church and the hierarchy of that. We have the killing of 50 to 100 million people, the trail of blood of the true Christians in the church age. All the way up here to 600 A.D. Actually, in 570 A.D., Muhammad, one of the most wicked men that ever walked the face of God's earth, was born. And proclaimed a religion that has damned billions of people. And killed 270 plus million and counting every day. We have the culmination of that great whore fighting against God. And again, I say this in the Shacharit Aram, They say, this hellish religion, this mark of the beast, there is no Jehovah, there is no God but Allah. There is no Jehovah but Allah. He has no son, no companion. That's the worst shirk crime you can get, to say that Jesus is the Son of God. Muhammad tried to replace Jesus with himself in every way he could. He shares the names of Allah. Muhammad means the glorious one. Praise be upon him. Every time they speak his name, may Muhammad and all the angels pray to him and pray upon him. And Allah is referred to as a many-veiled Allah. And every time in Islamic drawings, paintings, mosaics, you see Muhammad, he has a veil on, just like Allah. And right at the right hand of Allah shall sit Muhammad, according to Islam. The most perfect man that ever lived was Jesus Christ. But Muhammad claimed that also. All of these wicked blasphemies. A religion full of blasphemies. To them, to say Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus is the Savior of the world, Jesus is the Messiah, that's the worst shirk crime you could commit, which is worthy of death and eternal punishment. But I'll tell you, without Jesus Christ, you have no salvation. None whatsoever. Because he judges that harlot, that Jezebel. You know, Jezebel, her name means without cohabitation, a virgin. Jezebel means without cohabitation. She's a nun, so-called. A celibate, yet she was a perverted harlot. Jezebel, the harlot, and she kept on defiling the earth. We use Jezebel as that time, that harlot from a long time ago. She was a perjurer, she was a liar, she was a pervert. That religion of theirs, their priests were having open sex on the altars of their gods. Islam is a sexual religion, a religion of sexuality and pleasure. Each Muslim man can have 4 legal Muslim wives, but he can have all of the sex slaves or concubines he can afford. Now he will take all of these wives to him with heaven. To heaven with him. But if he dies in jihad, now this is from Islamic writings, the first drop of his blood that is shed in his death, he will wake up in heaven, paradise, and he will have 72 virgins. And these virgins, according to the Islamic scholars, will be Ziploc virgins. Every time that they cohabit with them, every day they will be a virgin again. And their male organ will never get soft. Shall always be erect. This is the promises of Muhammad. Not only that, but they will have pearls. Pearls are young boys as slaves before puberty. They say that there was a lot of homosexuality always in Islam and in the Islamic countries today, where they use them as sex slaves also. Can you imagine that? Islam is a religion of sex and male, what we call superiority. What do the women get in heaven? One writer says that all the wives that the Muslim man takes to heaven can watch him deflower all of those virgins over and over and over again. Because they're Ziploc virgins. They're virgins every time that they cohabit with them. And they will have plenty of horsepower to keep on going and going and going and going. And that same Islamic scholar wrote and says, you cannot imagine the sexual pleasure that you will have in paradise. If you had this greater pleasure on earth, you would faint for the pleasure of it. These are the promises of those that commit murder, mayhem, steal, lie, cheat for Allah. Which is all legal, you know, according to Sharia law. Now she kept on defiling. She kept on defiling the earth. Spiritual fornication has gone on all through this time. The church and the state became one. Mariolatry, which is idolatry and blasphemy. The Pope, the first Pope established, basically the first apostle of God established, was Constantine, when they declared him to be the apostle of God. Everything he spoke was ex cathedra. Infant baptism, indulgences, that you could buy and commit all the sins you wanted if you were fighting for the name of the Holy Church, Catholic Church, the Holy Roman Empire, or Allah. Purgatory, Satan image worship, infant communion, transubstantiation, which perverted the Lord's Supper. Celibacy, which is absolutely, in the Catholic Church, has absolutely cursed humanity. Wherever the priests have been, they have raped and pillaged and molested, and homosexuality, all of this horribly committed and covered by that church Catholic. America, we are absolutely infiltrated in the fifth column with it. Under Islam. Coming here with all their wives, putting them on welfare. They got one legal wife. You're paying for their children. You're paying for the raising of their children. And they're going to outnumber you one of these days. That's going to happen. Will you be left behind because you don't believe in Jesus Christ to face all of this? Will you? Right here is the war of the two seas. Let's go on. She kept on defiling the earth in fornication, perversion. She slew the prophets of God. She slew the true prophets of God. And then she taught Israel to pervert. Go ahead and worship Jehovah, but come over here and worship my gods with me. God is jealous God. You can't be an idolater and a believer at the same time. Fornication belonging to her. And he meted out justice. He vindicated the blood of the servants of him out of the hand of her. For many years in the Dark Ages, the Pope, whoever was Pope, whoever the ungodly buzzard was at the time, literally ruled the kings of the earth. And they'd have to go to him and ask permission to marry or whatever. Sometimes the popes would make the king stand out in the snow waiting for an audience of him. Power. Manipulation of the masses and even the kings themselves. Wickedness. 50 to 100 million real Christians were killed by Catholicism. And once Muhammad learned that intellectually he couldn't convince very few people to become Muslims, He began to conquer by the sword. And I know, I've heard it said many times, in Islam there is no compulsion in religion. Baloney. That verse was abrogated. That was an early verse in Mecca. But in Medina, he said, go out, find the Christians, the Jews, the infidels, the kafirs, wherever you find for them, lay in wait for them, kill them, murder them, if they will not believe in Allah and His servant. America, you have been given an ultimatum. Wherever you are in the world, you've been given the ultimatum. We hear this. They slip in unaware. Hudna. A treaty for a while until they get the advantage. When they can outvote you, outweigh you. In every way. And all the time sucking up the tax dollars, raising their hordes of children to outnumber you. And politically activist. It's coming, people. It's coming. It is here. The judge is at the door. And secondly, they have said hallelujah. And the smoke of her, it rises up unto the ages of the ages, forever and ever. That harlot is going to burn. We're going to find out that the Mahdi and the beast are going to be the first inhabitants of eternal hellfire. That false prophet, their Jesus. The first inhabitants of hell. You know that Joseph Smith, Charles Taze Russell, Mary Baker Eddy are suffering in hell today along with Muhammad for every convert that they have deceived. They're suffering in Hades today for every convert that they have deceived and made a descendant, a son of hellfire. Their smoke, her smoke will go up forever and ever. It's going to be eternal. Let's read here 2 and 3 in the Amplified now. Because of his judgments, his condemnation and punishment, his sentences and doom are true and sound and just and upright. He has judged, convicted, and pronounced sentence and doomed the great and notorious harlot, the idolaters, who corrupted and demoralized and poisoned the earth with her lewdness and adultery and idolatry. And he has avenged and visited on her the penalty for the blood of his saints at her hand. And again they shouted, hallelujah, praise the Lord, polish his name, make it shine. The smoke of her burning shall continue to ascend forever and ever through the eternities of the eternities. Isaiah 34 and verse 10 and Deuteronomy 32 and verse 43. Now let's go on down this wonderful battleground. Between the seed of the woman and the seed of Satan. You know, in Genesis 3:15, God prophesied, Jehovah speaking said to the serpent, which represented Satan, you shall have a seed, but your seed and her seed shall have active hatred between her. Her seed is Jesus Christ. His seed is a literal son on this earth. And you shall bruise him as to the heel, but he shall bruise you an eternal death-dealing blow. And they fell, the elders, the 24, they tripped in astonishment, is what it says there in the Greek, at Pison. And they tripped and fell on their faces in astonishment. And we will be astonished over and over again, all throughout eternity. The rough rush and exhilaration of surprise and pleasure. The 24 elders and the four living beings, they worshiped toward, they bent the knee toward the God. The one sitting upon the throne saying, Amen, and we are going to polish and make his name shine. Hallelujah. Number five, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And a voice, or and the voice, literally, from the throne, it came out saying, You praise, I knew. You praise to the God. You sang praise to God of us. All the servants of him. And the ones fearing him, and the ones small and the ones great. I'm going to tell you something. It's awfully easy for me to brag on Jesus. It's awfully easy for me to brag on my Savior. Because it's through him that I have eternal life and him only. We change the scenery. To the love of God of the beloved. Here. We go from the judgments and tell those that love him. Have you ever seen a bride and a groom? Have you ever seen a bride and a groom as they stand before a magistrate or a preacher or whatever to solemnize their love vows to each other? And they look at each other with a love that comes from the very bottom of their souls. And they look at each other with great love and glory. And then you see them 70 years later, if they live that long, holding their hands, walking down with their canes or in wheelchairs, looking with that same expression forever of that loved one. I've been waiting a long time to see the face of my Jesus. A long, long time. And I love him more today than I did when he saved my soul. I've learned to love him more and more and more. Yet I feel so unworthy of his love. But all I can do is sing praises to his name. For it's by grace that I am saved through faith. And that faith didn't come from me either. It's all by grace. 19 and verse 6. And I heard as the sound of a crowd, a great number of people, Uklo. A crowd great, and as the sound of waters. And you know what waters means? That's a figure of speech for, see, this is parables, all the parables of the Bible. This is a figure of speech for many people. Many people. It said the seas, the many waters, followed the beast. And these are the ones that are following God. Are you one of them? Are you one of them? Of many and the sound of thunders. Brontone. The word brontosaurus comes from that word. The sound of thunder strong saying hallelujah. Praise and polish. And make his name of Jehovah shine. Make the name of Jehovah shine. While Islam today is running down and throwing dirt and smirking at the name of Jehovah, one day they shall bow down to him in humility. One day they shall, because he is the creator of the heavens and the earth. One day they shall bow down to our Savior. They shall. They shall admit what they have done. They shall defy him, but they shall admit. Because he reigned, Basileusen, the Lord, the God. Jehovah Elohim, the God of us. Ho Panta Kator El Shaddai, the Almighty. And remember what that Almighty means, El Shaddai. It means the one that is all nourishing. That comes from the word for a woman's breast that nourishes and raises and sustains and gives life to the children. And that's what our Savior and our Almighty God does. He gives us life each and every day. The seed of Him remains in us always once we've been born again. Jeremiah 51:48 and Ezekiel 1:24, Psalm 93:1, 97:19, 1 and 6:1. That Psalm 97:1 and 99:1. Praise ye Jehovah because He reigned, the God Almighty. Israel had forfeited her place in the administrator of God's kingdom. Israel had forfeited her place as administrator of God's kingdom when they crucified her Messiah. As His wife, she was put away. With Abraham shall still stand, and there will be a place of service for her in His kingdom. Israel, the nation, is the only nation that God has ever had. But through this tribulation period here, she shall learn to love that Savior that she crucified, because He shall save her. 2 of every 3 shall die. 5 of every 6 Gentiles shall die. 2 of every 3 Jews shall die. And they will learn to sing praises unto the Jehovah that they crucified. Verse 19:7. May we rejoice and may we exalt, and I shall give, or we shall give, the glory to Him, because it came the marriage, the gamos of the Lamb and the woman of Him. She has prepared herself. Salvation is of grace only. And I know a lot of you will not understand this. Ephesians 5, 23-32. The bride makes herself ready. The bride is that intimate relationship with God, like Paul had, like Peter, like James, Jude. Those that gave their all to Jesus, have you given your all to Jesus? If you give your all to Jesus, maybe you will be in that bride. In the family of God and guests at that wedding and all that stuff, all the saved will be there. But that special bride that has given all, there is a difference in rewards in heaven as there is difference in punishment in hell. I don't want to go into too much of that. 2 Corinthians 11:1-12. Ephesians 5:22-33 talk about this holy bride that's made herself ready. Yes, it makes a difference what you do with Jesus. It makes a difference how much you give of your life of God. 19:8. And it was given to her, or that she might be clothed around, she might have a robe thrown around her, with a queen with royal clothing. A queen with royal clothing. The queen of God. We talked about the bride of the Antichrist, Islam, Catholicism. The bride of the Antichrist. We talk about the bride of God. With fine linen. There were 3 steps in the Hebrew marriage. There was a contract, a payment agreed upon. There was a groom, and his friends would escort the bride to his home after they became of age. And finally, the marriage supper would take place and the consummation of that marriage will take place. Think about that for a minute. You have got a chance to be part of that bride. The price has been paid. The groom has called you into perfect, close relationship with him. And when you become of age, at the rapture, will be escorted up to be with that wonderful husband or be part of the guest according to what you've done. She might be clothed around with royal clothing of fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine women, linen, to be sown. The righteous deeds and works of the saints it is. Verse 9. Let's go back and read up to here again. And I know this is a little bit longer message than the others, but boy, it's got dynamite in it, people. And the 24 elders, the heavenly Sanhedrin, and the four living creatures fell prostrate and worshipped and paying divine honors to God, who sits upon the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Then from the throne there came a voice, Praise God, all you servants of His, you who reverence Him, small and great. And after that I heard a sound like the sound of a vast throng, like the boom of many pounding waves. Now, by the way, this is mid, bass, and treble all together. You're going to have all the sounds and sounds you never heard before. Like the roar of terrific and mighty peals of thunder, exclaiming, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. For now the Lord our God, the omnipotent, the all-ruler, reigns. Let us rejoice and shout for joy, exulting and triumphant. Let us celebrate and ascribe to Him glory and honor, for the marriage of the Lamb at last has come and His bride has prepared herself for that wedding. Remember the 10 virgins? The 10 word virgins weren't the bride. 5 of them wasn't even ready. 5 of them were ready, but these are the guests at the wedding. Powerful messages and intricate studies in God's Word. I know some of you have never even heard this before. But think about it. Just use it as food for thought. Let us rejoice and shout for glory and exaltation and triumphant. Let us celebrate and ascribe to Him glory and honor, for the marriage of the Lamb at last has come and His bride prepared herself, and she has been permitted to dress in fine, radiant linen, dazzling and white, for the fine linen signifies and represents the righteousness of the upright, just, and godly living deeds and conduct and right standing with God of the saints of the holy people. There are no works in salvation. But I'll tell you what, being part of this bride is going to cost you everything. Salvation is free. We're all in the family of God. But that bride is special, intimate relationship with the Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Will you give that much? Will you give that much for all eternity to be with Him so closely? I guarantee you nobody's going to be unhappy in heaven. No one's going to be unhappy in heaven. We're going to be grateful for whatever part we take, whatever place we go. Whether you're a ditch digger or servant or what you are, you'll be happy. And He says to me, you write, blessed the ones to the supper of the marriage of the Lamb have been called. These are the guests, not the bride. These are the guests. And He says to me, These ones are the words true of God, they are. True words of God, they are. God does not treat the saints of all ages exactly like Israel, nor alike. The church and Israel have a special, specific places in God's economy, and they are places of distinction with certain groups as the bride, God's true New Testament churches, in covenant relationship with Him, that have given all for that relationship. God has engaged many in New Testament times, but only those who have kept themselves pure are that bride. We're not talking about works for salvation. We're talking about places in eternity. Places of worship. Places of intimacy. Israel has a very special place in the economy of God's plans. The saved outside of these two covenant relationships also have a place in relationship to God also. God's eternal purpose and His sovereign plan. The Hebrew wedding was made or completed in three stages, as we talked about. The price was agreed upon. When they became of age, the bridegroom, accompanied by his friends, would go to the home of the bride and escort her to his home, the rapture. Matthew 25:1-13. Then the groom would bring his bride to his home in heaven. And a marriage supper to which the guests were invited would take place. The wedding supper, the marriage had already taken place. But this is the celebration of the beforehand marriage. And I fell down in the presence of the feet of Him to worship Him. And He says to me, "Know not. The fellow servant of you I am, and a brother to you, of the ones having the witness of Jesus, for the God you worship, for you worship God, for the witness of Jesus, He is the spirit of prophecy." Now we have something great. We see our Savior as the Lord of glory, and we cheer Him on as we bring all things under His control. You know, when a woman's husband excels in some great way, she likes to be there to revel in that glory and to see him triumphant. And I saw the heaven having been opened up. Behold, a hippos leukos, a white horse. This isn't the white horse of Revelation 6:1. And the one sitting upon him, faithful, being called and true, and in righteousness he judges and he makes war. I remember in 2007, my daughter had a little horse that was her confidant, and I never saw such an intelligent animal in all my life. I've been around horses and animals all of my life, and that little horse's name was Peanut. She was pure white. Pure white. She looked over all the other animals on our farm, told me when something was wrong. Loved everyone, loved everything. She got Giardia from the dairies around us. It's a form of dysentery that gets in the water that you get in the Rocky Mountains and things because of cattle. She was dying, and I tried to get them to find out what was wrong with her, and they did not do that. They said, she's too old. She's 47 years old. But as she's eating, she's okay. But she went down, and I had to call the veterinary to come out and put her down. She couldn't get up, and she was just screaming in fear. And I love animals. Shukawakon, that little white horse. And this is a white horse here. I sat down there to try to comfort her and hold her head in my lap. I said, Peanut, you're going to go home now. Jesus needs a white horse, one that's brave like you. And besides that, all his saints are going to have white horses like you. And they gave her a shot, and she went into eternity. I don't know whether she'll be there. I don't know whether our pets will be there. But I know every animal has a soul, and I saw the soul of that animal. That was the greatest soul of any animal I ever saw in this world. You can read the story, my daughter's big sister, that I wrote about her. What an animal. I think all nature will view and glory with Jesus at this great triumphant entry that he makes. And the eyes of him as a flame of fire upon the head of him diadems. Diadems means to bind around, diadema. Means to bind around. And on this crown he has diadem or many streamers over all of the facets of the world and the worlds and the cosmos that he has conquered. It's a crown of a battle glory. It's like all of the emblems of a soldier and a major, like Audie Murphy, the most decorated soldier of all time. Every medal that he had, 30 some odd medals that he won. And Jesus will have more streamers than that, more medals. These are all the medals that he's won in your life and in my life. All the victories that we've ever had. Jesus never lost a battle. Never lost a battle. Never lost a battle. Even a death he overcame. The eyes of him as a flame of fire. And the diadem upon his head. Having name having been written, which no one has known, no one but himself. And have been clothed round as a king is clothed with a garment, having been immersed, baptized in blood. And having been called out the name of him, the Word of God. The Word of God. Kaiho Logos Arxaganto, and the Word became flesh. In the Old Testament, Exodus 20, verse 7, when the Lord said, thou shalt not use the Lord's thy name, God's name in vain, for he shall require it of you. They never spoke the name of God again, that name and title Jehovah. We don't know how to say that name. That's ridiculous, Jehovah. But it means something. The one who shall become. Jehovah Witnesses, if you're listening, the Jehovah that you worship is Jesus. He's not the angel, Archangel Michael. He's not the one that died in that grave and then ever rose from the dead. He's the one that died for you and all your sins. Believe on that one. You and the Muslims got it just about the same. Allah and your father God are untouchable. But the God of the Bible, the Muslim God, asked them to die for him. And our God and Savior died for us. The opposite. Because of the love of God and his mercy and his love to redeem you from all of your sin and eternal damnation. And the soldiers, and the one soldiers, things in the heaven, they kept on following after him, each one. Upon horses white, having been dressed in fine linen, white and clean. There is nothing more inflexible than divine judgment, and here it comes. And out of the mouth of him proceeds a sword, and this is a figure of speech. He doesn't have a sword in his mouth. And it's sharp, in order that with it he might smite the nations, and he shall shepherd them with a staff of iron. And he treads the winepress of the wine of the fierce anger belonging to God, this swelling indignation of God, the Almighty, the Omnipotent. Verse 16. And he has upon the garment of him, and upon the thigh of him, onoma, a name, authority, having been written, Adonai ha-Adonaiim in the Hebrew, Basileus, Basileon, Kai, Kyrios, Kyrion. It's from the Hebrew in Genesis 15:28. Amos 5:16. John 3:16. All of that is part of this. James 5:4. Romans 9:29, having been written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Also comes all the way from the book of Deuteronomy 10:17, Psalm 35:23, and 136:3, John 20:28, Hebrew Brown Driver and Briggs on page 11. If you want to look that one up, it'll tell you all about this Kaiha, all this Adonai Ha'Anaim, Adonai Jehovah Sabaoth. All of this is the titles of our Savior. And I saw and one angel having stood upon the sun, and he cried out in a voice great, saying, to all the ones, birds, to the ones flying in midair, you come to assembly unto the supper, the great supper of God. The griffin vultures were seen following great wars in history. Nebuchadnezzar, Alexander the Great, Rome's armies, the Crusades, Napoleonic Wars. And shall they again gather to eat up that carrion that shall already be in File 13 in Hades. 19:18, the great feast of God for the scavengers and the birds of prey, the womblies, the wing flappers, in order that ye may eat fleshes of kings and of fleshes of thousands, chiefs over thousands, keliarchs, and the fleshes of strong men, and the fleshes of horses, and the fleshes of the ones setting upon them, and the fleshes of all free men, both slaves and both, one small and one great. You know the only nation in this period of time in the world that has slaves? You know who it is? It's Islam. That's the only national group that practiced slavery in what we call the civilized world. Yet they still practice slavery today, even in America. And we had a civil war. 19:19. And I saw the swift-running beast, the beast and the once kings, And the one soldiers, having been assembled to make war, with the one sitting upon the horse, and with the soldiers and army, the troops of him. And I saw something else. And he was seized, the swift-running beast, the beast, with him, the false prophet, and the one having worked the signs in the presence of him, by which he deceived the ones having received the mark of the beast, and the ones worshiping and bending the knee to the image of him. Islam. Islam. And they were cast out, the two, unto the lake of fire. The first inhabitants of the lake, of the eternal lake of fire, will be the beast and the false prophet, Mani. Burning with sulfur. The lake of fire is a place of final judgment of the wicked and rebellious beings after their judgment. Evidently, these two will be the first judged and cast into the lake of fire. Satan's masterpieces in human flesh precede Satan himself into the place of eternal punishment. This lake of fire is neither annihilation or a purifier of the enemies of God. It doesn't purify them. It doesn't make them better. It doesn't reform them. It's a place of eternal punishment. It's not temporary. 1,000 years later, more people would be judged and thrown into that lake of fire. And the remainder, they were killed with the sword of the one sitting upon the horse, and the one having proceeded out of the mouth of him, and all the birds, they were filled out of the fleshes of them. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message. And I know that many people in the Islamic world listen. This is the final doom of Islam. The final doom of Islam. And the glory of the Lord. Father, I pray that they will be convicted of sin, righteousness, judgment to come. I know they hate me because I preach the truth about their one they're following. Father, I pray that they might have eternal life because you paid for it. If they'll only believe. And I know they do believe in those countries. They cannot tell anyone, not their wives, husbands, or anyone, because they will be killed also. Sooner or later, they will die with the witness of Christ. I pray for those out there that haven't come to know you yet, that they'll repeat, not the Shahakaram, but that I believe in Jesus Christ, my Savior, the Lord of glory, that became flesh and died upon the cross of Calvary and was buried and rose again. I claim that redemptive price. Father, I pray that they do. Forgive me where I fail you. Help me to glorify you with my life and with my death. In Jesus' name, amen.